Well, nothing is designed to send both politicians and Wall Street traders into the calming, whatever, calming steam bank they can go to kind of settle their nerves.
Calming steam bank?
Yeah, don't you ever
bank?
Go to a steam bath to sort of calm
steam
down?
Bath, yeah, steam bank, though.
Did I say bank?
You said bank, yes.
Well, it's Wall Street, so I assume they must have banks
maybe
with
they have
steam.
That would be good. Goldman Sachs probably has a steam bank.
Well,
they're
probably visiting it now because the price of oil went over $100 a barrel. That's the highest price in 2 years. Gasoline is at an average of $3.50 a gallon. But in some place like California, it's already over $4 a gallon. The International Energy Agency says the conflict in Libya has halted about 1 million barrels per day of their total 1.6 million per day output. Clearly, the unrest in Libya is a factor, but we don't really know how much that may play into the cost of oil. However, it is making those in Washington say they could tap into the strategic oil reserve, that's right,
yes,
to bring down the price of gas. Joining us now is Lisa Marganelli, fellow at the New America Foundation, author of the book Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long Strange Trip to Your Tank. Good morning again, Lisa.
Good morning.
You are actually one of the few civilians in this country who's actually seen the strategic oil reserves. So there's like four of them along the Gulf Coast, right? What do they look like?
Yeah, they don't look like much at all. They look like a big field with some sort of bare patches. I went to the one called Bryan Mound, which is the biggest one in Texas. And they have some bare patches in them, and they have some pipes sticking out of the ground, and that's about it. But what's really amazing about them is what's underground. They have these caverns that are hollowed out of salt formations deep underground. The caverns are, if you can imagine them, they're like, well, to be honest, they look like a tube sock, but they hold, you know, millions of barrels of oil. But the size of the cavern itself is about the size of the Empire State Building dangling upside down underground. They're pretty stunning.
Well, Lisa, I mean, there's about a 720 million barrels in our strategic oil reserve. How long would that last?
Well, technically, we say it would last 75 days because that's how many days of imports it would cover. But the actual way that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve works is that you have to get that oil out of the ground and into a pipeline. So we can put out about 4.4 million barrels a day of oil for about a month. And then after that, the amount starts to taper off because to get the oil out of the caverns, you have to pump water into the caverns. And at a certain point, the oil and the water start to come out of the caverns at the same time, and you have to separate them.
Oh.
So we basically have a month of 4.5 million barrels a day. And then after that, we have many more days, you know, 100 and something days of kind of declining amounts.
Okay, so
but, you know, we have tested the Strategic Petroleum Reserve a couple of times. We did a big drawdown after Hurricane Katrina. We did another one after Gustav. We did some others over time. We've done a bunch of them, but we've never really said, okay, this is a crisis and we're really going to suck some oil out of the reserve. It's always been kind of a little thing here and a little thing there.
Well, what happened? I mean, they tapped the oil reserve for a few million barrels during the Desert Storm, as you say, after Hurricane Katrina. What then happened? Did the price of gas come down significantly?
Well, actually, Desert Storm was a pretty great example of what happens. What can happen. The price of oil fell, I think, from $27 a barrel, which I know sounds kind of nostalgic now, down to $21 a barrel. So you lost an enormous amount of value almost overnight when the U.S. started putting the reserve on the market. That doesn't always happen. And we don't know what will happen right now because the world trades over 90 million barrels of oil a day. And so Libya is, you know, like 1% of that. It's an important 1% because it's this very light crude, and most of it goes to Europe. And what tends to make the prices in the oil market is the 1% that you can't get your hands on. So that's what makes traders nervous. And on the one hand, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has the potential to kind of replace the lost oil from Libya. But what it really has is it has a psychological effect on traders and on speculators of saying, you know, don't try to send the price up too high because the U.S. is going to step in and kind of destroy that price that you've built by undercut, you know, by putting more oil on the market.
Lisa, forgive me, but it does seem a little less than strategic to dig oil out of the ground and then put it back in the ground and say that you've got a reserve.
You know, has it always been That has always been a big question. And after World War II, we left the stuff in the ground, and that was our reserve. But this was kind of the response to this was what we did in 1973 after the Arab oil embargo. We felt that OPEC was using oil as a weapon, and U.S. policymakers wanted to have our own oil weapon. It was like our equivalent of, having strategic nukes that we weren't going to use, but we were going to have them.
All right. But Lisa, I mean, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that the threat of tapping into the oil reserve, that's the most important part, that it's used as kind of a political ploy, or as John just said, not really all that effective a tool in the use of our fuel problems.
Very hard to use the Strategic Petroleum Reserve correctly. I mean, it was designed for a thing that doesn't happen anymore, which is embargoes. The whole way that an embargo works is if I know that my oil in Saudi Arabia is going to you in the United States, I can cut it off. But when we have an open oil market and all the tankers change hands, you can't do that. So there were no embargoes. The moment we built the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, there were no more embargoes. So then what did we have? We had a whole bunch of oil in the ground. And, you know, some years Congress doesn't even reauthorize the SPR. It just sits for a while, and then someone says, oh, okay, we'll do it. But it is there for disruptions. The politics of it are just nuts. Republicans and Democrats always disagree. Free market people versus sort of government intervention people are always going at each other's throats. And frankly, we don't really even understand the way the oil markets work right now. So the prospect of the government getting involved and throwing some oil in the markets scares people, and rightly.
But Lisa, if to the extent that we do understand the oil markets, do you think that we're going to see oil prices continue to escalate? Will we see the national average go over $4?
We certainly could, and what we need is a much longer plan than the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We really need to figure out how to insulate the U.S. economy against this drain. I mean, we spent $32 billion on oil as drivers in the U.S. during the month of February, which was about $10 billion more than we spent 2 years ago.
Lisa Marganelli, fellow at the New America Foundation, author of the book Oil on the Brain, Petroleum's Long Strange Trip to Your Tank. Thanks, Lisa. We want to hear what your report from the pump is. Are you actually seeing prices going above $4 a gallon where you live? What is the price of gas in your hometown? Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
Send us a picture. Let's see it.
Absolutely.
Prove it.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.